Welcome to the London Walks podcast. This episode, Musical London Part 1.
So we're in Denmark Street, London's very own Tin Pan Alley.
Denmark Street, the home of the music business. Over there at number 5, Denmark Street, that's where the New Musical Express was published as a rival to the existing Melody Maker newspaper. We used to have a great many musical newspapers in this country, and we've only got one left, and it's the NME. And it's appropriate that we're talking about it today. It's the 8th of November today, which is the 51st anniversary of the first British singles chart.
We've timed that perfectly, haven't we? We knew about that and we timed it bang on.
There are no accidents. We timed this perfectly. Al Martino's Here in My Heart was the first British number one.
This is a kind of rookery, wasn't it, in the 17th century, the slum part of London?
Well, quite. We're in the parish of St Giles, and St Giles is the patron saint of lepers and outcasts, which is entirely appropriate that we're dealing with show business types in that context. The Church of St Giles is just at our shoulder here by Henry Flitcroft, and yes, named for George of Denmark, the consort of Queen Anne. Denmark Street.
And so why here for the music publishing business? Why here and not a little bit further into kind of Soho in the West End?
Proximity to the theatres. As we know, the rock and roll king, King Charles II, granted royal charter to two theatres, the Royal Theatre Covent Garden and the Drury Lane Theatre. And so businessmen build their theatres near the King's Theatres, and the West End grows up along those lines. So if you are someone, if you're an agent or a publisher or a manager or anybody who wants to make money from someone else's talent, then you have to be near where the actors are. There used to be managers and agents and all sorts along here. Only, music shops today, guitars, pianos, drum kits, basses. Indeed, that's a guitar shop at number 5 here.
Where I bought my guitar here, Adam.
Oh, which, at Hank's?
I think Wung Ho's.
Oh, okay, because Hank's is just over there.
Right.
And Hank's claimed Bob Dylan to be one of their customers.
Wow. Bob Marley bought a guitar here as well, Denmark Street, I'm told.
Yeah, he made his big splash, of course, down the road at the Lyceum Theatre in the early 70s, when it was a great rock and roll venue.
And Tin Pan Alley, so that's based on New York's Tin Pan Alley.
Yes, West 28th Street in Manhattan. A number of different stories about why it's called Tin Pan Alley. We're dealing here with people whose recreational habits are not necessarily conducive to having a good memory. So for every, you know, every story has 10 legends behind it. And the idea of Tin Pan Alley, there's a couple of stories. There's the idea that every music publisher would have a piano in every office.
Oh, it's the tinny sound from the upright pianos.
Yes, the sound of all the pianos playing simultaneously, sounding like tin pans. There's another story which is colourful, certainly, about the idea that if you're a songwriter, you come down and see your publisher or your agent, and you play them your song on the piano in days gone by, and if they like the song, they would stop you, and then they would invite their secretary in and say, look, take this tin pan and this stick and go and stand on the landing and beat the tin pan with
Fantastic.
The stick so that no one can hear the song and steal it. Now, it's a colourful story. I hope
Good
it's
one,
true.
Man.
I doubt it, but I hope it's true. So, two possible sources there for the name Tin Pan Alley.
OK, Adam, now I know you've got to go around the corner and begin the rock and roll walk. I'm going to go to the Savoy, and that is, of course, the iconic place where the footage for Bob Dylan's Subterranean Homesick Blues, part of it was recorded. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Well, yeah, it seems odd that you would be going to the one of the swishest and poshest hotels in London to find Bob Dylan, but there you go. And I'm, as you say, heading round the corner to do the Rock and Roll London Walk. It is Friday afternoon after all. Very good.
See you later.
See you later. Cheers. Right. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon.
Well, that Adam's my name. Rock and Roll London's what we're up to today. Some of you may have some questions this afternoon. I will try to help with answers to those questions. I have questions for you as well. Did you think you were going to be relaxing this afternoon?
One long continuous test. Yeah?
Pay attention. I will be asking questions here. Very first question, very simple one. Who do you like? Who are you fans of?
Oh, let's start with the Beatles.
The Beatles, yes. Okay. But never heard of them. Any others? I tell you what, let's go back to that. The Beatles, we're going to do this much Beatles today because we need to also to get you to promise to come along on the Beatles walk as well. Could you do that?
Yeah.
Great, fantastic. Okay, bit of Beatles today. Any others?
The Who.
The Who. Fantastic.
Rolling Stones.
Oh, fantastic. The Sex Pistols. Great. We'll be putting those in today as well.
Jimi Hendrix.
Led Zeppelin as well. Yes, listen, all of that and more. So we'll take all your requests, like a radio show there, and we'll do more of that, more on top of that. We're starting here at the Dominion.
So, hello, I'm just making my way down Fleet Street. I'm on my way to round the back of the Savoy Hotel, where Dylan filmed the opening sequences for a brilliant documentary called Don't Look Back. And it followed Dylan on his 1965 tour, English tour, with dates at the Royal Albert Hall. Brilliant film. As I'm walking along here, I've just got off the number 76 bus to Waterloo. On my left-hand side is Waterloo Bridge, so I'm just crossing over the road here. On the right-hand side is the Royal Lyceum. And the first left here is a road called Savoy Street. And I'm going to make my way down here, and I'm just walking past the Savoy Tup. Now, the Savoy Hotel, London's first big luxury hotel, and it was built by Richard Doyley Carte from his profits from the Gilbert and Sullivan shows, and just everybody, every glamorous celebrity you can think of has been a guest there. So including Charlie Chaplin and Noel Coward and George Gershwin and Humphrey Bogart and Elizabeth Taylor and Laurence Olivier and Richard Harris lived there. The film Don't Look Back, there's some great scenes which were filmed in a suite at the Savoy, which Dylan was staying in, including that great scene with Donovan, where Donovan comes in and he sings this kind of little ditty, and then it's immediately followed up, or promptly, it seems like a setup, but he's promptly upstaged by Dylan singing It's All Over Now, Baby Blue, and then there's that kind of slightly awkward silence. There's a kind of perceived humiliation on the part of Donovan. The truth was, actually, and this was revealed in a brilliant interview which you can see online with Don Penbaker, where he says that actually there was a song sung prior to that by Donovan, where he gave this kind of serious adaptation of Mr. Tambourine Man. He called it My Darling Tangerine Eyes, and then that is then followed by his next song, and then Dylan sings It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. But Dylan said, don't shoot the first song, so we didn't get to see that. So perhaps Baby Blue was a moment of payback for Donovan's attempt to improve upon his song. So now I'm kind of making my way down here. On the right-hand side is the Savoy Hill. So, yeah, I'm beginning to get a little bit excited here, you know. Here we go. Johnny's in the basement, mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement. Thinking about the government. So, yeah, you can see there's a kind of supply road passage here, which is covered straight down the Savoy Hill. But as you turn right, you look up and you can see there's this stone, the Queen's Chapel. And as I look up there, I can see this is exactly... I found the location where Subterranean Homesick Blues was filmed with Dylan with those cue cards. So tune in for part two from the Savoy Steps, and I'll tell you about it.
Having finished the Rock and Roll London Walk, I'm now on the opposite bank of the river to Andy. Andy's over at the Savoy, and I'm on the south bank along the route of the Somewhere Else London Walk. I'm actually in the Royal Festival Hall here. The Festival of Britain in 1951, celebrating the end of the Second World War, a tonic for the nation, described thus by Herbert Morrison, the Deputy Prime Minister of the day in Clement Attlee's Labour administration. 6 years after the end of the Second World War, the Festival of Britain, the symmetry in 1951, echoing, chiming with 1851 and the great exhibition of that year. At the Festival Hall, the only permanent structure of the Festival of Britain, remains an internationally famous music venue. The Festival of Britain was opened by what else? Elgar. We could only open a Festival of Britain with Elgar. But it's not just Elgar on the South Bank here. The Festival of Britain in 1951 was the place where many British people first became familiar with calypso music, the sound of Trinidad. And King of the Calypsonians is surely Lord Kitchener. Kitsch arrived here in 1948, in June of that year, aboard the famous SS Empire Windrush. With a microphone stuck up his nose and the Pathé news crew waiting by attentively, the question is begged, "How do you find England, Kitsch?" He's only been here for a matter of seconds, it would seem, but his reply, "London is the place for me. London, this lovely city. You can go to France or America, India, Asia or Australia, but you must come back to London City." It seems that he's extemporised the tune on the spot, and it's a glorious newsreel moment. But the truth is, Kitchener had been working on the song, on the ship, on the way here. Ever the show business pro, he arrived on the gangplank, fully formed with an act ready. Kitchener soon records the song, "London is the Place for Me," and it's the title track on a compilation CD, "London is the Place for Me." Kitchener, alongside Young Tiger and Lord Beginner and Lord Invader and Mighty Terror, giving us musical postcards to the folks back home. Kitchener delivers "London is the Place for Me" with infectious joy, observing that the English people are very much sociable, which is very nice of him. While his fellow Calypsonian, Lord Beginner, gives us a tale of racial harmony in mix-up matrimony, a social comment song about interracial marriage. It's not all plain sailing, though, for the immigrant experience. "My Landlady," also by Lord Kitchener, is a story of a rather rude and intrusive and greedy-sounding landlady who pokes her nose into Kitchener's business.
"In my affair, she likes to intrude. My landlady's too rude. In my affair, she likes to intrude. 5 o'clock in the morning, the landlady is beeping. No, it isn't fair, this persecution I got to bear. And every Monday,
mister, give me rent.
All that I try, I cannot prevent."
The songs are never anything less than very jolly, certainly in tone, even when the subject matter is dealing with the difficulties of the immigrant experience. And as snapshots of that experience, these songs are priceless to us. In the pageant of black music, these songs are equally important. Calypso begats ska, and ska evolves into reggae. And in a very British context, the influence of the Calypsonians can be found dotted around the landscape of British popular music. The Kinks, for example, Madness, Jules Holland. We can hear the influence of Calypso on all of these quintessentially London acts.
London is the place for me. London, this lovely city. You can go to France or America.
For playlists and information on how to download some of the tracks discussed today on this podcast, go to our blog, The Daily Constitutional. You can get there via our website, www.walks.com.
Well, believe me, I am speaking.
The London Walks podcast was compiled, produced and presented by Andy Hallett and Adam Scott Goulding. For details of the full programme of London Walks, London's best guided walking tours, go to www.walks.com. The London Walks podcast was an APB production.